Ew. Gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
It is. The JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Much love and many thanks to people listening coast to coast, all my people in Canada. I don't care where you're at in North America. Thank you for being here. The show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Me? I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, is in New York City, and I'm happy that you're here. You could be at work, leaving work, going to work. You could have told your boss, screw you, I'm leaving. You could be walking out your front door. You could be on your front yard, the backyard, side of the house, back of the house. You could be in the outhouse. Thank you for listening. You can always listen on the free Audacy app, AUDACY. It's free, by the way. How many things did you get free today? You can always listen on your local affiliate, wherever that might be. Sirius XM channel 158 for my truck drivers and people who buy Sirius. They don't like free stuff. And then also, you can listen by asking a smart speaker, wow, to play the Infinity Sports Network, okay? I'll be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. If you missed the first hour of the show, you missed a lot already, okay? We talked about Jaylen Brown, still on Twitter, still not on Team USA. It's still not going to happen. We spoke to Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe. Was asked about a dynasty. Dynasties in sport. What is a dynasty? A team whooping ass, winning championships over a period of time. I mean, Spurs dynasty, would you say it was about, you know, about 15 years-ish? Patriots dynasty, it's like lasted about 20 years-ish. Think about the Chicago Bulls, their dynasty, you know, pretty much outside of Jordan saying, I want to take a vacation, 8 years-ish. You know, so dynasties, they come in different forms. Teams three-peat, that's a dynasty. Different forms, okay? Not a one-size-fits-all when it comes to dynasties. And speaking of football, we'll get into this later on in the show. Bill Belichick is going to be on your TV. So if you need to see Bill Belichick, well, I'll tell you how. I'll do that later on in the show. We also had a great chance earlier, or a great time, I think I did, talking about Paul Skeens. This man was throwing a no-hitter, was pulled after 7 innings. He struck out 11 guys. They still won the game 1-0 against the Brewers. And their manager, Derek Shelton, caught a lot of crap about pulling this man when he was at 99 pitches. I'm like, hey, I'm not mad at him for pulling this guy. If he can play, if he's healthy enough to play, he can have many more chances at no-hitters, okay? Maybe even a perfect game. But he has to be healthy first. Let's not rush it, okay? He's already had 2 chances. Like, just let the guy pitch. That's it. Let the no-hitters happen. Just let the guy pitch. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We spoke to Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe. He came through and joined us last hour. Well, I'll tell you this. In about 15 to 20 minutes, Jared Dubin is going to come through and join us. He covers the NFL for CBS Sports. Okay, and speaking of the NFL, the Tennessee Titans decided to do a thing today. They added a safety/linebacker who unfortunately has just been riddled with injuries over the past several seasons. This man has blown out his arm, his thighs, his legs, his hamstrings. He's been concussed. His knees have been thrown out. I'm talking about someone who is a former All-Pro. I'm talking about someone who used to bring the pain when he was healthy. I'm talking about Jamal Adams. Yeah, the same Jamal Adams that was on the Jets. wanted to get paid by the Jets. They sent him to Seattle. He was good for about a year, and after that, he was hurt. And he tried to come back. Hickey, remember the game he tried to play last year? I feel like it was like almost Aaron Rodgers. He played a couple of snaps, coming back off from that blown leg. He missed a whole year, and immediately he has to exit the game with a concussion. And he's getting mad at the referee. I'm like, bro, you got hurt again. Relax.
The training staff, right? He's like trying to fight him on the sidelines.
Yeah, he was mad at the ref and in the training staff. And it's like, what are we doing? Yeah. So, hey, the Tennessee Titans decided to add him. So, what I think, the Tennessee Titans should be good. And Ryan Tannehill, by the way, is still a free agent. His job got taken away by Will Levis, really, since Ryan Tannehill threw all those interceptions. And then he sprained his ankle, and that was it. Will Levis took over. And when you think about some of the talent that the Tennessee Titans have added, I think they should be good. Okay, am I telling you that they go into the playoffs? I don't think so. But I think this is going to be a stepping stone year for Will Levis when you think about the talent that he now has to throw the ball to. Calvin Ridley is in, away from the Jags. DeAndre Hopkins, I think this guy still has something left in the tank. You have Tyler Boyd. And yes, unfortunately, you lose Derrick Henry. Tony Pollard, is anybody going to look at him and go, oh, wow, you know, superstar, all pro? No, but they're going to be throwing the rock. And if there's one thing I appreciate about Will Levis, it's that last year the man threw 8 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. Now, there were a lot of these 0-1 games, touchdown INT ratio 1-1. But when you're a young QB, I think it's very important that you don't throw the ball away to the other team, I should say. Like, that's step number one. Don't turn the ball over. And in that regard, I find Will Levis to be impressive. So what he does with a new offensive coordinator in Brian Callahan and some of these additional offensive weapons, if he can't build on this, then, yeah, maybe there's a good reason he had to sit in the green room last year for the draft and got taken in the second round. But back to Jamal Adams. Is he going to be healthy? Maybe. It's not like after all these years and all these injuries that he going to get better. He's limited in what he can do. He could never really cover anybody. He just always brought the pain at the line of scrimmage. And so one thing that general manager of these Tennessee Titans said he wanted to do, Rand Carthon, he talked about the type of players he wanted to bring in free agency. You tell me if Jamal Adams fits this.
My number one people, you know, family members, friends ask me, like, hey, what position are you looking for? And I say playmaker. You know, and when I say playmaker, I'm not necessarily just talking about people that touch the ball. You know, there are playmakers all over the field, and we got to add as many of those people as possible. So, again, we're going to continue to go throughout this evaluation process. Our assistant coaches are back, you know, in Nashville now working, doing half of the day scheme, half of the day evaluations, and we'll have our free agency meeting with our coaches when we get back, and that'll bring the full plan and vision.
Yeah, and I mean, you think about, it's tough to call Jamal Adams a defensive back, but he is. They bring in L'Jarius Sneed, remember? The Kansas City Chiefs could not afford him. But here's the bad thing. As average or as good as they might be, are they going to be better than the Texans? Nah, I don't think so. Are they going to be better than the Jags? No, I don't think so. Are they going to be better than the Colts? I don't think so. I think Anthony Richardson would have to go down. It wouldn't shock me if it happened for that to take place. Sorry, Hickey. Hickey, what are your thoughts on the Titans?
I'm with you. I think they are last in the AFC South. I think they have made some good moves. I like the Sneed move a lot. The Calvin Ridley will add, you know, juice to the offense, but I'm not a Will Levis guy. I'm not a Jamal Adams guy either. So, honestly, I think this is a subtraction by addition with this signing. So,
well, like, is he gonna play? Is he going to last?
I mean, no. Based on previous history, number one. And number two, when he does play, I mean, the guy's barbecue chicken out there. Guy can't cover anybody.
He can't cover it. Keep him at the line of scrimmage.
He's also a fake tough guy. That's another, you know, that's more personal for me, but
the Twitter, the online stuff,
That and on the field, too. If you ever watch him play, he's the king of, like, he'll try to light you up when you're not watching. But, like, if there's a big running back that's coming in the hole and he's there supposed to meet him in the hole, he more times than not finds a way to get out of that hole. He doesn't meet the running back. He can talk, but then when it's all of a sudden time to put up, he more times than not backs away. He's soft.
He wants to go around the edge and do some damage. Not that I'm a doctor, but I feel like once you blow out your quad, like there's going to be, I feel like you're going to be susceptible, not necessarily to future quad issues, but knees and hamstrings. Like, think about this. This is a different sport. Obviously not as physical, but all you do is run up and down. It just makes me tired thinking about it. Kawhi Leonard's initial injury with the San Antonio Spurs was an issue with his quad. And since then, I haven't heard anything about any other part of this guy's body but his knees and his legs. And so I'm supposed to think that Jamal Adams, who's built like a tank and blew out his quad and then blew out his brain last year, unfortunately, like Hickey said, I'm supposed to think that he's going to wake up and be healthy. I think not. I feel bad. And what's your thing against Levis? What, he left Penn State? What's your problem?
No. I just don't think he's very good. Like, he has a strong arm, but decision-making, accuracy, consistency, like, I think, look, I don't hate him. I'm glad he left Penn State. I'm glad he had success at Kentucky. I will say, I do think some of the success he had at Kentucky was a little overblown because Kentucky's not had a strong history of quarterbacks in recent years, and I think they got someone halfway decent, and it's like, oh my God, we got the savior. Let's pump the brakes a little bit.
So this is like, so Kentucky found basically they found a nine, and they're used to picking up sixes and fives.
Right.
Okay.
Well, no. I would say they got like a six, and they're used to picking up threes, but now six all of a sudden, because they're used to threes, and it's double up, it's like, oh my God, we got a 10. No, you don't have a 10. Got a six.
Wow. That's mean, Hickey. Damn. A three? I don't know. What is a... Can we describe... We can't do that, right? We'd be mean.
I mean, if you want to talk about it in football terms, is Ryan Tannehill not a three? Four, maybe?
Ryan Tannehill doesn't have a job right now. He's going to sit around and wait for somebody to get hurt, and he's just going to try to slide up in there. They're going to go, we need a quarterback who can throw the ball. Who's available? Oh, yeah, Tom Brady's upstairs. Oh, there's Ryan Tannehill. Come on down. Come on down. That's it. He's gonna get picked up in camp somewhere. Or somebody's going to get injured in this. Ryan Tannehill's going to get that phone call. Just might as well pick him up out the stands. Speaking of the stands, I mentioned this briefly last hour. And we got Jared Dubin, who's going to come through in about 10 minutes or so to join us. Last night, the home of the Carolina Panthers, there was a brawl. The fight. Players going up into the stands. But there were no Carolina Panthers. This was a match to determine who was going to move forward to the Copa America final against Argentina. Colombia beat Uruguay 1-0. Don't worry, America wasn't involved. Remember, we're losers. Lost last week, 2 weeks ago. Anyway, Colombia beat Uruguay 1-0. The fans were full. The stands, excuse me. The stands were full of Colombian fans. Uruguay loses, and the players feel that their families are being threatened. And so the fans from Uruguay start going up into the stands, and it's like this melee for like 10 minutes. They said it was 10 minutes before police showed up. I don't know what the police in Carolina were doing. But listen to this description of what took place. Courtesy of Fox.
Uruguayan players going into the stands and interacting, if you will, with Colombian supporters. You obviously see things being thrown, including fists and punches and beverages and garbage. And unfortunate scenes in Charlotte, that after the final whistle.
Well, listen to this. This is courtesy of ESPN. Alexi Nunes, he talked about what he saw.
There were some tussles on the pitch between the players, but really nothing compared to what was going on in the stand in the section just below us in the press tribune, where fans of both Colombia and Uruguay started clashing. It's important to note, as you said, Colombia, as many would have seen from the USA's friendly against them in Washington just a few weeks ago, are a very well-supported team in soccer. The stadium was pretty much Colombia with some sections of Uruguay fans, so they were outnumbered, they were clashing. And then I started to notice that a couple of the players on the Uruguay bench, the substitutes, started running frantically to the barrier and trying to climb over and getting into the stands. It was then that we realized that it was because, as you mentioned, it was their family section. A lot of the players' families and partners are there with very young children, you know, their parents as well. So they were jumping over in an effort to try and separate the Colombia fans from them as well. We saw players like Darwin Nunez getting involved. Definitely not very pretty sights afterwards. The stewards, I would say, did struggle to contain it. Afterwards, the security guards did come and they were able to contain the melee a little bit. And probably about 30, 40 minutes afterwards, the players were allowed back on the pitch. The staff of Uruguay, as well as the families, were reunited with the players. We saw Darwin Nunez reunited with his toddler and his young daughter. Ronald Araujo's daughter was basically tossed to him over the barrier as well. But really just concerning scenes for all involved.
Hickey, let me tell you something. The only thing that stopped this from being like Malice at the Palace football style is the fact that everybody involved is normal size, quote unquote normal size. Could you imagine if there was a Ron Artest, a Steven Jackson, and a 7-foot Jermaine O'Neal? We'd have some big problems. But knowing that these are football players and their fans, I don't think anybody running around was bigger than 6'5" or 7 feet, you know?
And that's maybe why the Colombia fans are not as intimidated, because they don't have to worry about a ripped Ron Artest or Jermaine O'Neal coming to beat him up.
Could you imagine if Jermaine O'Neal went into those stands last night?
I think things would end pretty fast.
The damage he'd be doing with those, the length of those arms, man, that guy would be, he'd be out there. He did clock normal people, but he went to town on them folk, man. This is football. Welcome, Americans. This is things. Worst things happen, okay? Let's just put it that way. I'm glad nobody was hurt. That might be the most action that takes place in that stadium, by the way. Sorry to the Panthers. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to talk more football, the American kind. Jared Dubin is going to join us on the other side of the break, courtesy of CBS. Don't move. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
It's been a 3-year wait, but the Olympics are back, and the CBS Sports Podcast Network has you covered with everything happening in Paris. It's a new era for the U.S. women's national team, and Attacking Third will tackle all the women's soccer action. First Cut will keep close tabs on golf, while Beyond the Arc will follow the U.S. men's basketball team on a quest for another gold. And We Need to Talk Now will provide comprehensive coverage of women's athletes at the Olympic Games. Follow and listen to all CBS Sports podcasts for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
The JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We talked some football in the last break. Well, there was a fight in the Panthers stadium. Didn't involve the Panthers. Copa America, soccer. And then we talked about Jamal Adams, the newest member of the Tennessee Titans. Should I be concerned? Probably not. Is he going to play? I have no idea. Can he stay healthy? Who knows? To talk about that, some coaching rankings that were released earlier today, and also all these other amazing things going on in the NFL world. Joining us right now, weeks out of training camp, weeks away, is Jared Dubin, who covers the NFL for CBSSports.com. Hey, Jared, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for taking the time. Jamal Adams to the Titans. Is he even going to play? Is he healthy? What are your thoughts on this signing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't personally know if he's healthy. I would imagine that they have a role in mind for him if he is healthy. He's going to a team where, you know, the defensive coordinator comes over from the Ravens, and they like to use a lot of three safety looks, especially with bringing one of those safeties down into the box, which is basically the only role that is kind of reasonable for Adams at this stage of his career, given, you know, his inability to cover deep down the field. And if you want to use him in sub pack and stuff like that, I think you could get some use out of him. but I wouldn't expect him to play a significant role just because of the injuries and because of the way those injuries have made his skill set, you know, deteriorate from where it was at the peak of his career.
Well, Jared, we talked about the division. You talk about health. We know Anthony Richardson, hopefully he comes back from his shoulder injury. And you think about the Texans and what they did, surprising everybody into the playoffs, the Jags, the money that they've thrown around. How do you think this division is going to continue to evolve? A few years ago, it's just kind of like, meh, but now the AFC South is pretty competitive, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. Like, it wasn't that long ago that you looked at this division, like you said, and it was the worst division in football for a period of several years. And a lot of that, obviously, was just because the quarterback play was really bad. But now you look at the division, you have C.J. Stroud, you have Anthony Richardson, you have Trevor Lawrence. Hopefully Will Levis for the Titans can sort of step his game up and get onto the level with some of those guys. Like, things are looking much better for the division. Houston, you would imagine, is still going to be a very good team. Like, Jacksonville, before things went haywire last season, was, I believe, 8-3, and then went like 1-5 down the stretch, but got off to a really good start to the season. Hopefully, like, if the defense plays as well as it did in the first half of the year, and if they can get more out of their offense than they did last year, the Jags, then maybe they can be better. I think that Shane Steichen has consistently gotten the best out of whatever quarterback he's been associated with. You know, he was the quarterback coach for the Chargers in Justin Herbert's rookie year. He was the offensive coordinator for the Eagles during, you know, Jalen Hurts' ascent to being an MVP candidate. And then last year he had, you know, functional offense that was in like the top half of the league with Gardner Minshew playing quarterback for the Colts. Like, he is going to get the best out of Anthony Richardson as long as he's on the field. And that's really exciting to have all those guys in the division at the same time.
And Jared Dubin is joining us, covers the NFL for CBS Sports. When you think about the league and where it's at, we had coaching rankings released today. I know everybody's ready for training camp. We might as well evaluate the coaches. We got to do something at this point in time. And Andy Reid, courtesy of CBS, who did the list, came out on top, followed by Sean McVay. No shock there. Kyle Shanahan, John Harbaugh sitting there at 4, Matt LaFleur at 5. Brian Callahan is at 30. Gerard Mayo just showed up at 31. Dennis Allen's at 32. What are your thoughts? You know, you take a look at this list, and we just get into it's July.
Yeah, I believe that Cody Benjamin did those rankings for us, and I am in pretty firm agreement with like the top 4 or 5. I think you can quibble beyond that, but I mean, if you don't have Andy Reid at number one, I don't really know what you're doing. I think that, you know, McVay and Shanahan and Harbaugh and Matt LaFleur, I think they have to be next in some order or another. Just like the way that McVay and Shanahan and LaFleur especially put their guys in position to succeed offensively, like, that's the most important thing an NFL coach can do at this point. And then Harbaugh, we've just seen, is so willing to completely overhaul his philosophy on both sides of the ball to fit whatever talent he has on hand. So even though he's not like an offensive genius or a defensive genius, and he was a special teams coach before he gave there, the flexibility that he shows and the ability that he shows to get the most out of his team on both sides of the ball by innovating and tapping into new coordinators on both sides, I think puts him up there too. And then, you know, as far as the first year coaches, like, there's really nothing you could say. Like, I don't know how good a coach Brian Callahan is. Like, right. I think he's done some good stuff as an offensive coordinator. I have no idea what he's going to do as a head coach. Same with, you know, Gerard Mayo, same with any of these guys that are first year head coaches. There are guys obviously with bigger track records that are not all that inspiring. And I understand why they go ahead just because they do have the track records. But to me, that top five, like, it's Andy Reid, then it's the next four guys. And then after that, it starts getting into preferences.
Jared Dubin is joining us, covers the NFL for CBS Sports. You know, you mentioned the first year head coaches. Last year, we saw a first year head coach and a first year quarterback go to the playoffs and shock everybody. I'm talking about the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. Is there a team that you see this upcoming year that could make the leap? Are we talking about the Bears? Granted, they don't have a first-year coach, but they got a rookie QB. Is there a team that you think can make that leap?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not, again, it's not a first-year head coach, but I would point to the Colts just because of that division, like, as good as I think the Texans are, I do think there's a possibility, like, they've got the first-place schedule now. Maybe somebody comes up and catches them from behind. And I think that the most important thing for finding offensive success, or sorry, finding success in the NFL is finding offensive success. That's just what drives success in the NFL now. And I have a lot of confidence that Shane Steichen will get the most out of that offense, even if I'm not in love with the pass catchers that they have in terms of the overall group. Like, I think the quarterback is incredibly talented. I have a lot of faith in the play caller. And that's really what you need to be able to come from behind like Houston did last year. Obviously, DeMeco Ryans, the head coach, he brought Bobby Slowick with him from San Francisco, and they just did such a good job of putting everybody on that team in position to succeed. And that comes from, obviously, Slowick as a play caller, but that comes from the top down. Like, Ryans instilling that confidence in everybody and identifying Slowick as the guy that he wanted to bring with him from San Francisco, and then being able to hit the ground running with an offensive line that was the most injured offensive line in the league, and a rookie quarterback and a rookie number one or two wide receiver. Like, what they did was incredible.
Well, Jared, let me ask you about something that you wrote about. You want to talk about quarterback and OC combinations. Hackett and Rodgers. Are we looking at a landmine? Is this going to be a disaster? Is this a match made in heaven? Hackett has his. What are we looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I am much more skeptical about the Jets than the general consensus.
Uh-oh.
Like, Aaron Rodgers is, what, 39, 40 years old, and he's coming off a torn Achilles. That's just not a recipe for success to begin with. And in addition to Rodgers coming off the injury, they're counting on guys like, you know, Tyron Smith, who last year played 13 games. I think he had played 13 games in the 2 or 3 years before that combined. You know, Mike Williams coming off another injury and has had issues staying healthy. Morgan Moses is getting older there too. And the rest of that offensive line, I think there are question marks all over on the interior. And, you know, beyond Garrett Wilson, are their pass catchers all that good? Like, Breece Hall, I think, is a really explosive running back, but it's hard to be consistent if the offensive line in front of you isn't consistent. Like, to me, the offense just has way too many questions for them to be, like, a top 5 or 10 unit, and then you're counting on the defense being as good as it was over the last couple of years, and it's just really hard to keep that up.
So the Jets are going to be a disaster this year, and then they get blown to smithereens in January, February, right?
I mean, that if you look at the history of the Jets, that's kind of what happens. I don't want to, you know, attribute, you know, the 2000s or the 1990s Jets to anything that's going to happen this year, but I am on the skeptical side compared to others, so I guess you could throw me in that camp.
And Jared Dubin is joining us from CBSSports.com. Here in Atlanta, Georgia, a lot of conversations about what's taking place, or what has taken place with Penix and then also Cousins. How do you foresee that playing out? Is Cousins on borrowed time, or is Penix going to be in mothballs for a while?
I think in the best case scenario for the Falcons, Penix is in mothballs for a while, like you said, and I don't think that's a good thing, you know? Like, In the best case scenario for them, Kirk Cousins plays so well over these next 3 years that Penix doesn't see the field, and then all of a sudden you have to decide whether to do it all over again and pay Cousins and keep Penix on the bench for even longer. That just doesn't feel like a tenable situation to me. And if it doesn't work out that way, then, you know, one of the two moves that you made was a pretty significant mistake. And, you know, Cousins also is coming off significant. Obviously, he tore his Achilles as well. I think that there's a little bit more skill position talent around him. I have more faith in the offensive coaching staff than I do in Nathaniel Hackett, and he's not someone that has ever needed to move around at all in the way that Rodgers did for a lot of his career. So maybe there is a little bit easier of a transition to coming back from the injury, but he's obviously not as talented as Rodgers either. So it's sort of a balance. I'm not quite as high on the ceiling for the offense as maybe some others are, just because I'm really skeptical about older quarterbacks coming off significant injuries. But I do think it'll be at least somewhat easier for him, and they do have an infrastructure there that should allow them to do some good things. But
one way or the other, I think you're looking at either the Cousins decision they're going to regret or the Penix decision they're going to regret, and that just doesn't feel good to me.
And, Jared, sounds very Falcons-like. You know, as we start to wrap things up, I do have to ask you, he's not a first-year coach, but this is his first year coaching the Chargers, and that's Jim Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. He was listed at number 7 on the list of coaches, and we know about his success with the Niners. We know about the national championship in Michigan. Herbert not coming off of a major injury, typically pretty healthy out there, but they're trying to rebuild things in a different way. What is your outlook for the Chargers this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Harbaugh, as he always does, will get the absolute most out of that team that he possibly can. I'm just not sure that that's going to be all that much because it's kind of an under-talented roster. Like, you look at what they've got at the skill positions, it's really, really bad. And then in the defense, except for in the secondary, I think that they are incredibly lacking. And, you know, while I think Jesse Minter is a good defensive coordinator and that Michigan-style, Raven-style defense that they're going to run, that, you know, Mike McDonald was with Baltimore, then came to Michigan, then went back to Baltimore, and Minter took over for him. Like, that's innovative, and they're going to do a lot of fun, interesting stuff. I just don't know if they have the talent to get good results on that side. And on the offense, like, they want to be this Harbaugh-style, smash-mouth kind of team, but, you know, their running backs are Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins and maybe Kamani Vidal, and I don't think their offensive line, particularly on the interior, is going to be the kind that, you know, runs over people. So, like, they'll get whatever is there to get out of those guys, but I'm just not sure that that's going to be all that good because they don't have the talent yet that they need in place to really play the way Harbaugh wants to play at a high level.
Yeah, I think it'll be a few years. Well, Jared, thank you for taking the time. Where can people follow you and your work at CBS Sports?
Hey, thanks for having me. It's just, cbssports.com, and then for me, it's, we'll do my stuff on Twitter, I guess. We're still calling it JADubin5. Appreciate you having me. Have a good weekend.
No doubt about it. You too, Jared. Appreciate the time. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, this man will not be on the field this upcoming season. But this man, you will see him on your television sets. I'll tell you who he is. He got another job today. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll get into that on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227. This portion of the show is sponsored by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. Fun stuff. But thank you to Jared Dubin for joining us in the last break as we took a look at some of the things going on in the NFL. You know, CBSSports.com released a list of top NFL head coaches. We took a look at that. Talked about the Tennessee Titans adding Jamal Adams. I don't know how much of an addition that is. And in a few seconds, well, I'm going to tell you about an addition to Inside the NFL. I'll tell you who's going to be joining the cast in a minute. 855-212-4227. Tamar is calling from Florida. Hey, Tamar, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's on your mind? What's up?
What's up, JR? I love the show, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. What's going on with you?
Hey, listen, I got a little bone to pick with you. I'm getting a little tired of you and all the other national, you know, radio folks picking on Rutgers all the time. I mean, I heard you go at us yesterday twice with, you know, USC coming to Rutgers and beating us by 30. And listen, man, what you need to do is look in your own backyard and start picking on a team like Georgia Tech. Like, what the hell have they done and how long? No, you got a million other teams to pick on, not Rutgers, man.
Well, hold on, Tamar. Hold on. You ready? You ready for my retort?
Absolutely.
Well, first of all, thank you for listening to the show. I appreciate it. Second of all, I make fun of all the bad teams, okay? Rutgers is in my own backyard, okay? I go back and forth between Georgia and New York. So, by the way, Georgia Tech is a stone's throw away. I can jog over there in 3 minutes. But the fact is, Rutgers hasn't been good, okay? Have they gotten better? Yes, the answer is yes, and I most certainly said that while I said that they'll probably get trounced by some of these teams that have joined the Big Ten. And so you can pick out part of what I said, but I said that they've gotten better. What do you want from me? I didn't tell no lies.
I mean, listen, the way people talk about Rutgers on the radio and TV, it's like, listen, we beat Miami last year in a bowl game. We made a bowl game and we won. That's not bad.
I forgot to address the first part of what you said. Mm-hmm. Tamara, I do not care what anybody else says. So if you want to address something that I say, that's fine. What anybody else says on TV or radio or on the internet, I do not care. They got nothing to do with me. I say what I say. I'll tell you this. The last time that I was in Piscataway to go ahead and watch Rutgers, and I watched it in a rainstorm, Ohio State beat them like 60-something, like 60-3. Okay, I saw it with my own eyes. They've gotten better since then. Shiano is back. They continue to do better. That's the beginning of the story. That's the end of the story. And I'm sure that maybe, I don't know, they'll be back at 7-8 wins this year. That's a success.
Listen, I understand where you're coming from, and I hope soon enough Rutgers, which is the state university of New Jersey, by the way. It's not, you know, in some random state, Wyoming or something. All right, let's keep that in mind, too.
Whoa. Let's not talk about New Jersey like it's the cream of the crop.
I'm just saying, we got some tough kids. We got some, we're top five, top ten, okay. And, you know, who we produce. But listen, I just want you to understand, soon enough, you might be regretting this, man. Rutgers has the number four men's college basketball recruiting class in the country. That's a fact.
Tamara, I don't have to regret anything. All I'm doing is telling you the facts. Look, I got friends who go to Rutgers. I can call the McCourty twins right now, and I can have a whole conversation with them about Rutgers, okay? I ain't telling no lies. I appreciate your enthusiasm. I assume you went to Rutgers. I assume yes.
I did, yes. I did.
So, good. Good. I'm happy for you. Everybody can get it. When a team is good, they get praised. When a team is bad, they become the butt of jokes. That's life. It's sports. It's not the end of the world. I have nothing to regret because I haven't said anything that's not factual.
All right. Well, I'm mad at you, JR. Maybe it's just you were the straw that broke the camel's back or something. But anyway, I love the show, and I hope this fall I could call you up and be like, hey, see what's going on at Piscataway. Well, I hope. I'm just, you know, I hope.
I wish everybody nothing but the best, but we know life don't work that way. I hope you call me with some good news, and I'll say, yeah, good for him. We'll see. Thank you, Tamara.
That's your bet, man. I'm good with that.
All right, Tamara, I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, man.
All right, take it easy. Tamara calling from Florida. Man, what team? I'm trying to think. What team's going to call? A representative's going to get me next? I mean, we talked about the Pirates. At least we talked about the Pirates in a positive way. Paul Skeens just showed up. They got 6 wins, so I'm on borrowed time with the Pirates, and I love Pittsburgh. Hickey, is it what other team? What other teams get you a lot of heat here?
Rightfully so or unrightfully so?
Whoa.
I mean.
What team doesn't deserve the smack that they get?
I don't really have a team in mind because I feel like, to be fair, a lot of teams that are made fun of, the most part, right, deserve to be made fun of. Like, no one's making fun of the Chiefs. You're not sitting here laughing at the Chiefs, calling them a poverty franchise or, you know, saying they suck.
Yeah, I'm not calling them the A's.
Right, you make fun of the A's. Why? Because the A's are a joke.
Yeah, they're garbage.
Oh, the owner is awful. The Carolina Panthers have an owner who spits on fans, essentially. Like, they deserve it.
Yeah. Look, it's not like I'm sitting here saying, oh, man, the Lions sucked. Yeah, I could have done that for the past 20 years, but I can't do that anymore. Well, you got to call a spade. When a team is bad, a team is bad, a team is bad. I'm just looking at reality, and reality says that Rutgers is likely to be a punching bag. Okay? Is it going to be a bad punching bag? Like 3 wins? Like, no, I don't think so. They'd probably be back right where they were last year. Maybe more, maybe less. I don't know. Hickey, I'm still trying to understand. I don't know what year this was. This must have been 2016, 17, maybe 18. I was out there in the pouring rain, and I was watching them get their heads beaten on a Saturday night, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, why am I here? Why am I being punished?
How long did you stay for? Because if it's the game I'm thinking of, I think it's 2016. I remember this stat floating around. Rutgers lost to the combination of Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. I'm pretty sure it could be inaccurate here or just off, but it's in this ballpark. I think the combined score was 219-0.
Yeah, it was in that range.
When'd you leave?
I think I stayed for the whole game. Why?
Come on.
I don't know. I don't remember why I went with one of my friends. Why he went, I don't know. He's just like, hey, you want to come to the game? I said, yeah, sure. Why not? It's Saturday night, watch a football game. It's like Ohio State is coming in. I already know what it's going to be. Was it Ohio State or was it Michigan?
It's 2016, it may have been Michigan. But either way, I mean, the blowout sounds about accurate. And you stayed for the whole time in the rain?
You know what? You're right. It was. I've been to so many of these damn schools, I can't even keep up. Oh, my God. Michigan beats Rutgers 78-0.
And you stayed for the whole game?
I gave them 3 points by accident.
I mean, that deserves, honestly, some kind of medal.
I gave them 3 points back. I said it was 60-something and three. Michigan beat them 78-3. Allowed 39 total yards.
Oh, so they got three. Okay.
Yeah.
So 219-3. There you go.
What? Wait. Three what?
Was it 78-0 or 78-3?
No, it was 78-0.
Oh.
Yeah.
Eek. Yeah, that's... You could have left... Honestly, you could have left 5 minutes into that game.
Michigan had five times as many touchdowns as Rutgers had first downs. 11-2. Okay? Sorry to Tama for calling. Listen, this is what I saw with my own eyes, all right? I know it was 8 years ago or whatever the case might be. But they were bad, so they're going to catch some smoke for me until they get better.
Honestly, you think you're a bigger Rutgers fan than Tama is. He went there, but you stood through the whole game at 78-0.
Oh, it was pouring. It was ugly out there, man. I did. When you see an ass whooping like that, it's like you can't look away, you know? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, I didn't forget about the guy you're going to see on TV. We'll tell you about it on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, Infinity Sports Network.